Ezra chapter 7, and I would like to look at the last two verses of this chapter, and I think we'll be through with the book of Ezra chapter 7 today. What a blessing it's been to go through this chapter and notice the ways that Ezra was a type of Christ, as it's found in this chapter, to go through the words of Artaxerxes, the decree of Artaxerxes for the people of God to go back to Jerusalem. And how in this passage of Scripture we find that Ezra is very thankful for those words that Artaxerxes had, because he understood that those words were words of providence. They were as a result of God moving upon Artaxerxes, touching his heart. So as we look here in Ezra chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Ezra chapter 7, verses 27 and 28. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Notice in these two verses that Ezra's complete thanksgiving to God for the blessings he received from the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, and we found in verse 27, which he hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, and then hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. This word blessed has a great deal of value as we go through the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word that's brought out so many times in the Old Testament, and it has to do with the idea of to bless God as to submit the knee, to bow before him in adoration. And that is how Ezra felt about all the blessings he had. He had been held as a captive in Babylon, and at this time he is permitted to go back to Jerusalem by the king's decree, but overall by the Lord's decree. And he bowed the knee in a pictorial sense before the Lord. He adored the Lord for what he had been given to him. It was a bow to the knee. And we find that the Lord shares with us in the book of Isaiah, as also as in the book of Romans, every knee shall bow. And God's people in this day, in this gospel day, they have the privilege of bowing as the Lord brings them to that point of salvation. They bow before him. They adore him. They have great love for him. And it is as someone would bow before a king. We're bowing before the Lord of glory. This also can be applied to men, as they are the beneficiaries of the blessing of the Lord. They are beneficiaries of the blessed of the Lord. And as we look at this passage of Scripture there in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers. Would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 51 for just a moment? In Isaiah chapter 51, we have this word is used here, and it tells us about God's dealing with Abraham. Would you notice with me here in Isaiah chapter 51, verses beginning with verse 1, the blessing that God gave to Abraham. Now, in verse 2 is the verse we're going to be looking at. Let's read that first, and then we'll go back to verse 1. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him. Now, as I thought about that, how many hundreds of thousands of people there must have been at that time, and yet God had his eye on a man down in Ur of the Chaldees, a man that worshipped many false deities, And yet God in his covenant mercy went to that person. Now if we follow the line, we find that Abraham is in direct line to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was in direct line from Adam to Abraham. And it was not a mistake. But God did not look down through time to see that Abraham would respond to the word of God. God took the initiative, as he always does, and he chose Abraham before the foundation of the world. Now, Abraham finds himself in a very dubious place. Abraham has been born into a family that is in a very dubious place. Ur of the Chaldees is not a place where you're going to find much gospel. And yet, the Lord of glory appeared unto Abraham. That's what Stephen had to say in the book of Acts. The Lord of glory appeared unto him. This was God's moving, and that's how he works today. He goes to the Ur of the Chaldees, if you please, to find all his people, and he appears to them in such a glorious manner through the preaching of the gospel. Well, as we look here just a little bit further, in verse 2 of Isaiah 51, it says, "For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." So that's the outcome of the blessing of the Lord. I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Notice verse 1 now. "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." Listen to me, in other words. You that have an interest in the gospel, listen to me. "Ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged." I have several pictures of my hometown in my office. The pastor who brought me the gospel says, never forget where you came from. Never get beyond that point that you were in Ur of the Chaldees when the God of glory appeared unto you. You were in a place that you found yourself, there's no hope in that place. There's no hope in that religion. There's no hope in those deities. And yet God, the God of glory, appears and he brings goodness to him, to us through the gospel, as the gospel is brought to us. He says here, "And then look unto Abraham your father." Just as an example, take what he had. Look where he was and take what he had. God gave to him. "For the Lord," verse 3, "shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Where do we find? What do we find in ourselves? Waste places. What do we find in ourselves? A desert. And yet the Lord says, "I'll make that waste place like Eden, and I'll make that desert grow and be a blessing." So this is the act of the Lord, and that's how Ezra is responding to the Lord after he hears the decree of Artaxerxes. Can you imagine living in a place where you don't have a lot of freedom? And the king calls for you. "Come into my presence." And you sit down in the presence of the king, King Artaxerxes, who rules very seriously. Your life doesn't mean that much if he doesn't want it to be. And he calls Ezra into his presence and he says, "Sit down right here." And Ezra comes in and sits down and he says, "I have something I want to tell you. I'm going to have you go back to Jerusalem." And Ezra's chin drops and says, and the king says, "And besides that, I'm going to provide all the gold and the silver necessary to go back to Jerusalem and finish the house of the Lord. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of guys go with you, and I'll protect the route while you're going." And Ezra says, "Oh, thank you, Lord." He knows exactly where that blessing came from. He understands that if for God, for Artaxerxes to do that, God had to touch his heart. And that's exactly what he says. The Lord of glory touched his heart, enable him to say what he said and do what he did. The Lord of glory had to touch his heart. And Ezra is so caught up in the moment because this is not a stranger to him. The blessings of the Lord, even in captivity, was not a stranger to him. He was caught up in the moment and he bowed his knee, not literally, but figuratively, to the Lord and said, "You are so blessed. You are so gracious. You are so merciful." Turn with me, if you would, to the back from Isaiah to the Psalms. In Psalm 5, there in Psalm 5 and verse 12, and the Lord continues to do blessings like this that God's people realize beyond a shadow of a doubt, this has to be from the Lord. He had to move on somebody to do this, and we are the rich recipients of that. The blessings of the Lord, God has used many people to bring them to the church over the ages. Here in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 5 and verse 12, Psalm 5 and verse 12, it says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." As Ezra, down there in Babylon, he realized that there was a shield about him and a shield about God's people, even in these dire straits that they were in. And if you would move over to the Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we find these words that is our constant prayer to the Lord. Psalm 103. And there in verse 1 and 2, we have these words. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He's taken care of all the iniquities of all the church, and he's taken care of all of the diseases, not physical diseases, but spiritual diseases that we face and on a constant basis. All the attacks, he's taken care of those. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And this is how Ezra felt when Artaxerxes called him in to his throne room and said, "This is what's going to happen." And it's not very long. We're going to read in chapter 8, and we've already gone through chapter 8. We're not going to go over that again. But the travels that they had, the preparation that went into it, and Artaxerxes is in the background saying, "Bless you, bless you, bless you." And behind Artaxerxes holding his hand is God saying, "Bless you, bless you, bless you." That's how it works. God's blessing his people through other people, through people that will never know God. They are hewers of wood and drawers of water. And in Psalm 104 we have, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." We cannot extol the Lord enough. We cannot lift him up enough. Our heart is not able to lift him up as high as he is. But, oh, to thank him for all that he has done. And here Ezra in the presence of the king just said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your benefits. My soul doesn't even know how to, and my being doesn't know how, I can't get there. But you know what I mean. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for all." And this is how Ezra felt. "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers." He saw a demonstration here of the covenant mercies of God to his people. They've always been, they forever will be, the covenant mercies of the people. God made a covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, on the benefit and on behalf of his people. And Ezra is just realizing more and more how much that covers. It covers all things. It covers our life. It covers the blessings that we have. And more than all, it covers the spiritual needs that we had when he raises us from the spiritual dead and blesses us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here Ezra is able to say, "Thank you, Lord." In the direst of places, just as we find in the worst of places the world had to offer at the time, Abram is called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he is called the father of the faithful. Doesn't mean that he passes on his spiritual blessings. He is an example of what God does for his people and where he finds them in the worst of places. Generally, just like Abraham, in some religious dive that we just are brought into. I mentioned a number of times when I was a child, I was drugged. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I was drugged. It bothered me that my older brother got to sit out in the car and listen to a comedy act that was on the radio until church started. Why couldn't I do that? That was better than what I got inside. Well, Ezra felt, Lord, thank you. Two more reasons he has this feeling is God moved in the king's heart to do what he did, and as a result, he extended mercy to me. It was the strengthened by the hand of the Lord. Let's notice here in Ezra, go back to Ezra chapter 7, and there in verse 28, those words where it says here, the Lord has strengthened me by his hand. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 28, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together all of Israel, chief men, to go up with me. I was strengthened by the hand of the Lord. In other words, I was strengthened in what the king decreed and saw the hand of God in it for me. We are going to realize as we study the Word of God in every place that God is the grand agent of all the business. He is the behind the scenes. He is the grand agent of everything. He's the grand agent of grace. He's the grand agent of faith. He's the grand agent of perseverance. He's the grand agent of all blessings. Before him, there is nothing. And he is the grand blessing, blesser of all spiritual blessings. He is the God. If the word of God is preached, it is that God is the grand agent to bring the preached word. Wherever it is brought in its truth from the Word of God, God is behind it saying, this is where I want it to be preached. If he's the grand agent of the whole business, the Lord God of our fathers, if you heard the Word of God, it is God that is the grand agent behind you so that you can hear the Word of God and your ears were opened and your eyes were opened and your heart was unstopped. He's the grand agent behind it. Because left to ourselves, we don't have any capabilities of opening our eyes spiritually or opening our ears spiritually or opening our hearts spiritually. God is the one behind all of those activities, and he's the one that must perform them, and he does them with surgical technology. If you believe the word of God, God is the grand agent for that. He's the one that gave us the belief to believe. He's the one that stands behind all the trust that we have. He's the one that gave us all the trust that we have, all the faith we have. If you believe God's word, it is God that is the grand agent for that. To how many thousands and millions of people in the world is this just tradition, just handed down from one person to another, or gibberish, or it's, and to God's people, thou hast the words of eternal life. To those who walked away, it meant nothing. To those that were with the Lord Jesus Christ, will you also go away? And he says, how, to where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so, to God's people, only because God has purposed it, and he's the agent behind it. If you're saved, and you're safe, and you're secure, it is God that is the grand agent behind it. That's where our security comes from. That is where our hope comes from. That is all. It is in the book. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we think about Ezra in his day and time as being a type and a shadow and a picture of every believer. I've been brought before a physical king, but it's because of the Lord. And he's letting me go because of the Lord. And I'm going to Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, because of the Lord. In the book of Philippians, we have a grand verse of Scripture, chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we have these words, "For it is God." Now that could be at the beginning of the book of Philippians, the book of Ezra, the book of Genesis. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." How much will would we have interest in God and God's work if it wasn't for him giving us the will? God's will. How much would Ezra have any interest in going back to Jerusalem to begin with if it hadn't been for God's will in him? Because we found early in the book of Ezra that there were just this number that went back, and there were a whole bunch of people that stayed in Babylon. Now, I'm convinced that some of those people became the parents or grandparents of this group that left with Ezra, but they stayed there. They were comfortable there. They had their livings there. They had their businesses there. Why would I want to go back? And yet there were some that God worked in the heart of that had an interest and a desire to go back. Who, what makes the difference? And we find it is always the Lord that makes the difference. It is always God that strengthens his people as the hand of the Lord touches them. Ezra knew much about God's providence and God's providential care over him. In the book of 1 Chronicles, would you turn there with me? The book of 1 Chronicles. David is giving some instructions to his son Solomon about the building of the temple. Now, David had an interest in building the temple, but he was prevented. God had someone else in mind, and it was his son Solomon that was going to be instrumental in building the temple. I don't know how much Solomon actually went down and put rocks in places and put beams in places, but he was certainly there, the overseer of it all. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 16. David is instructing his son, but he's also in prayer. And he says, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name." Now notice the next words. "Cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." When I read that, I said, why haven't I read that before? That's been one of those verses that's had a piece of paper over the top of it. David said, everything we have prepared here to build the house that we know as the temple, everything that we have here to build the temple for your house has been given to us and is all thine own to begin with. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in uprightness of my heart, I will willingly offer all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. Everything we have has been given by the Lord from his hand. Everything, every spiritual activity that God has ever done has been come from his hand. We don't have any ability to create spiritual things. He has the ability because he is spiritual, and his spiritual activity creates spiritual activities, and all we do is give them right back to the Lord in, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Everything that we've been given. In Ezra, going back to the book of Ezra, chapter 1. We went over this a long time ago. But here in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, we read these wonderful words about the first group that went back to Jerusalem. Why did they go to begin with? Why has anybody ever been drawn aside out of this world to Christ? Why? Here it says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, God stirred the heart of Cyrus. Now, if God can stir the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, it's no difficult thing to stir the heart of Abraham down in Ur of the Chaldees, or your heart, or my heart, because God has all power, and he knows exactly what to do and how to work his work, because he has a plan, and it's an eternal plan, and he will carry out to the very last minute detail. God has so purposed these things. It tells us in Psalm 110 and verse 3. Would you turn there with me? Psalm 110 and verse 3. It tells us God gives us a willing heart. We don't have that by nature. In fact, we find just the opposite by nature. We don't have any purpose to do God any service. We have purpose to do a God a service, just like Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. He had lots of deities. He could choose every day one. And he would have more than a year's full if he just did one a day. There's several thousand deities down in Ur. And it tells us that he was a worshiper of those deities. And the God of glory appeared unto him, not because he was going to a prayer meeting, but because it was God's eternal purpose, his will, that he come. Now notice here in Psalm 110 and verse 3. Psalm 110 and verse 3, as we think about Ezra blessing the Lord because he worked a work in Artaxerxes' heart, and he's just about ready to go on a trip, a five-month trip from Babylon over to Jerusalem with good intentions when he got there to worship the God of glory. Psalm 110, and there in verse 3, it says, thy people shall be willing, thy people willing in the day of thy power. God has the power, and he makes his people willing in the day of his power, whatever day that is. He goes on to say, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have the reason here that God's people are willing. There is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the book of Hebrews identifies him as the Lord of glory. That's the reason he makes his people. That's why his people are made willing in the day of his power. It tells us in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. God teaches one message. Salvation is of the Lord, and everything else falls out under that. Salvation is of the Lord. John chapter 6 and verse 65. Would you look at that with me? John chapter 6. And verse 65. This truly bears the heart of the reason anybody can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the only reason that Ezra could say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord for him working in the king. Because if it wasn't for that, there would be no interest in going to begin with. Here it tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 65, and the Lord said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus then said, Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, now there's one in that 12 that didn't understand what Peter had to say, but there's 11 in that 12 that understood what Peter had to say. Every believer understands what Peter has to say right here. Unbelievers, they just can't get it. But here he says, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? Now, those guys were just like Abraham down in Ur of the Chaldees. They were probably, most of them, very religious. Some of them were Jews. Very religious. Caught up in Judaism. The Lord had to take care of that, just like he has to take care of a lot of stuff when he saves his people. But he says, I've chosen you 12. And one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So the words of the Lord Jesus are come out so clear. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it was given of him of the Father. Would you go back with me to the book of Ezra for just a moment? The book of Ezra, chapter 7. Ezra, chapter 7. These are Ezra's remarks with regard to the decree of Artaxerxes the king that they would get to go back to Babylon. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Then we have chapter 8, and we've already gone through the book of Ezra chapter 8, and we saw the travels back to Jerusalem, and then chapters 9 and 10, two chapters left. Some grave issues come up to Ezra when he gets back there. You know, there's no enemy at the gate. There's no trouble going on. There's no problems going on. Everybody is at peace. And yet in the group, there is some grave problems. And those two chapters we'll deal with as we come back together again at the next appointed time. And look at these problems and the solutions to those problems. And I'm thankful that we're in a gospel age today. We're in the gospel age. The gospel was being preached here just like it is today. But we don't have the law imposed upon us like they did. Well, may we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, as we come to the close of this another time when we get to enjoy your fellowship in this manner, in the reading and preaching of your word, we're thankful for Brother Craig's message that went before, as you have so abundantly blessed through the scriptures, those who have been called out to yourself to worship at your feet. We're thankful for this great prophet that you've given us, this Ezra, and the message that we find in the book that you have caused to be written by him, the message of grace, the message of Christ, the message that we have nothing of ourselves and we have everything of the Lord. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon those that have assembled in various manners today,
And we pray that you bless those that couldn't be with us, that you give them opportunity even this day, this hour, to think upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless us through this week and give us opportunity according to your good purpose and your will to assemble again this Wednesday. And then throughout the week, we think about you, and even as the psalmist did, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's in the name of our Savior we pray. Amen.